Translation. After the strong, stout cowherd men assembled the pots and paraphernalia on the handcart and set it up as before, the brahmanas performed ritualistic ceremony with a fire sacrifice to appease the bad planet, and then with rice grains, kusha, water, and curd, they worshipped the Supreme Lord. Please repeat. After the strong. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The handcart was loaded with heavy utensils and other paraphernalia. To set the cart back in its original position required much strength, but this was easily done by the cowherd men. Then, according to the system of the Gopajati, various Vedic ceremonies were performed to appease the calamitous situation. I'll just read the translation once again. After the strong, stout cowherd men assembled the pots and paraphernalia on the hand cart and set it up as before, the brahmanas performed a ritualistic ceremony of fire sacrifice to appease the bad planet. And then with rice grains, kusha, water, curd, they worshipped the Supreme Lord. Agyanti mirandasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshurung militangena tasmai sri guruve namaha. Mukam karoti vachalam pangang langayati girim yat kripata maham bande sri gurum dinatarinam paramananda madhavam. So, we are studying the 10th canto. It's all the pastimes of Krishna. Prabhupada mentions earlier in the chapter that this is the very purpose of the Srimad Bhagavatam. In telling these wonderful narrations about Sri Krishna. And specifically, Parikshit Maharaj is requested, please tell me about this child Krishna. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur mentions in the purport that specifically asking to heal the childhood pastimes of Krishna is a way of overcoming the apathy towards hearing the pastimes of Krishna. Because the childhood pastimes of Krishna have such charm. That, I mean, who wouldn't be charmed by them? You know, when people in our community or any, maybe your family community, as soon as a baby's born nowadays, what's one of the first things that everybody does? Sorry? Buy gifts? Yes? Correct. I mean, wow. When you get to about my age, you want to eradicate a lot of your history. You know, when it's all on the internet, it's like absolutely impossible. Before we even have any choice in the matter, everyone's so besought by us and so charmed and so full of love and just want to, isn't it? Trying to hold you, embrace you, love you. It's just the irresistible charm and beauty of a baby. We all, even the toughest bloke, will even, isn't it? Once when my daughter was small, I was at a function in Vrindavan and I was sitting in a chair and with my daughter, and one gentleman was saying, isn't it? That's when you bring your baby to the temple. The mothers and fathers will know. You bring your baby to the temple, you're never at the temple with your baby because everybody goes, let me, isn't it? Oh, can I just hold the baby? Can I take the baby or take it away? Well, anyway, my child, Hari was on my thing, and one gentleman, an older Indian man, was saying, let me take the baby. And then she vomited a little bit my sleeve or something. I said, no, it's okay. He said, we don't mind that. You know, like that. We don't mind. Because the love is so, the soft-heartedness towards it, there's so much charm, overwhelming charm, isn't it? You even see brahmacharis in the temple sitting. The baby's maybe on someone's shoulder, just looking, and they'll be sitting, Hare Krishna, we go, make faces, whatever, isn't it? And then the ashram council will have a meeting about it. It's Maya. Don't be attracted, Pravin Prabhu over there. This is not your Maryad. Don't, with children. Isn't it? There's a policy. Brahmacharis. Be careful for children. Always goes wrong for brahmacharis as children. You know, even myself as a brahmachari, you just try to play with the child, it starts crying, and then the mother complains, the temple president calls the temple council, and you're all there. It was a simple thing to begin with. The child has such charm and such beauty, and what to speak of when it is the inconceivable, unlimited personality of Godhead, Krishna, as a child. In overcoming the apathy, he says, tell us those narrations about this supreme Godhead as a child with his mother. Tell me all about that. And so Shukadev Goswami begins to tell him all of these wondrous stories. And though here in these first chapters, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur also says that this is the Aishwarya, the power of Krishna, the power, the opulence of Krishna is just truly manifested. Really, isn't it? From the beginning, he says, Putana came, and he showed the, I mean, just those little lips of Krishna, isn't it? The other songs we sing about them being reddish and everything. With those little lips, he killed the great demoness Putana to show the power of those little lips. He said he didn't have to become big lips. He didn't require all that, isn't it? People have injections in the lips now. What do you call that stuff? Botox. Yeah, Botox in your lips, you know, making them bigger and bigger and bigger. No requirement was made to make those lips any bigger than just what they were. Perfect. A baby's lips, isn't it? When a baby's born, you look, you see, you think, it's inconceivable. The little fingers, the little fingernails, perfectly formed. There's the perfect lips. With those little lips, he destroyed the great demoness Putana who came to kill him, to show the power of those lips. And then here with this story is about Shakatasura. Shakata is the cart. Yeah, it's mentioned that the cart was the precious possession of cowherd people. They worshipped the cart, isn't it? Sometimes at the temple, you know, people come with their new car to the temple. The first place they want to go in their new car is to the temple. You meet them in the car park. They say, Prabhu, 1 minute, quick, come over here. Please, just sit in my car for 1 minute. I said, why? This is my new car. Please sit in it. I said, no, it's fine. I'm okay. No, please, Prabhu, sit in my new car. And there you are, sitting in a car. Good. Nice. And then we'll do a little puja for them, for their safety in the car. You know, people will write on the internet. This is all bogus. Prabhupada never taught this. He never taught these things. Bhaktivedanta Manor is a Hindu temple. It's not following Prabhupada. People have new cars. They want to come to the temple in their first drive. They want some little puja done that they may be safe with their families as they come and go, and that they may offer honor to Krishna for the things that they have. I mean, here for the cowherd, what was Arjun's chariot to him? It was everything. Arjun went out for a chariot and he didn't think, let me get a Nissan Micra. I'll get a Fiat 500. Let me get a trash can of a car. He was like, no way. His chariot came from the gods. It wasn't even a dealer on earth. It came from the gods. The pride of a Kshatriya riding on a fabulous chariot. The Bhagavatam described with all the horses and the wheels and it's come onto the battlefield. Let's go. I got it on eBay. For a cowherd person, their cart was everything. Vishnu Chakravarti writes, the cart was like, it's the goddess of Lakshmi for the cowherd person. The cart. Take care of it very nicely. Do puja for that cart. Their very sustenance came from having the cart. It's like here you see the travelers. Remember one year the travelers asked me, can we use your lane? There's a funeral of the man across the road. His wife passed away. They said, can we use a little part of your field for the funeral? You know, we're just so that the people, when they bring their cars, we can get ready to go in procession. I said, no problem. It's fine. No problem. I drove in that morning. I never saw so many fabulous looking vans. I don't know, the kind of flatbed trucks. But they were all like the vintage model of all these beautiful colored trucks lining the entire driveway. I thought, wow, it's such a big part of their lives, their van. For the cowherd people, the cart was everything. Here, this big cart was just parked at the house in the courtyard of Yasoda Mai, with so many things stacked on top of it. Krishna was, it was at the time, as you know, when Krishna was Uttan, when the, you know, there's so many things in India about. So Prabhupada mentions also in earlier Prabhupada, isn't it? He said the Vedic culture, you know, people really cared about their children. You know, they really wanted to have children. They really cared for their children. And all of these obsessive ceremonies around children, I mean, it's just, you know, it's exhibits that very fact. Even before the child's conceived, even before all these wonderful ceremonies begin. And for the pregnant mother parting her hair and feeding her whatever she wants to eat and everyone gathering and a baby shower and, isn't it? Everything anticipating the gifts and waiting for the birth of the child. And Mahaprabhu was born, isn't it? Everybody came with gifts. Everybody came with gifts. Such a celebration. Anticipation and celebration for the child. Prabhupada says in Vedic culture, you know, the child was such loved and as if were when the ladies of ISKCON had their babies, you know, because of the Sankirtan spirit, everyone's been busy in ISKCON since 1965, I think, isn't it? So busy. I remember once in Vrindavan, Tamal Krishnamurti said, ISKCON is like a lemon squeezer. He said, it's like, you feel like a lemon and I just squeeze you, you know. Every last drop of Maya will come out of your system. Feel like that sometimes, isn't it? By the time you, when I tell people, yeah, the devotees take you up at like 3:30 and they say, do you still get up at 3:30? And I go, oh, yeah. I do my best. Devotees get up at 3:30 and then, whoa, the day begins, the rigmarole, non-stop. Straight after breakfast, into the service, after lunch, into the service, after the service, back into the prasad. Yeah, and then some reading. There's no TV at the temple, there's no cinema at the temple, there's nothing. People wonder, what do you do all day? I'll tell you what they do all day. They're running from pillar to post. Non-stop. And so, What was the point I was making with that? That devotees are very busy, they have no time. All the things that struck a chord with everyone. The child was so welcome, but why everyone was so busy? Oh, they were all busy. I can't remember anyway. Yashoda, the obsessive ceremonies around children. Prabhupada's making the point that is, well, it's nowadays, Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga, you know, I don't know, the purpose of people's sexuality is not necessarily always the conception of a child. Yes? And so it's the most surprising and alarming and shocking news that one day perhaps a young lady may have to say, I don't know how to tell you this. I hope you're not going to abandon me, but I'm expecting your child. What? Like it's got nothing to do with the sexual engagement of a couple. Like it's nothing. It's nowhere on the horizon whatsoever. It has been completely disassociated with childbirth. I mean, there are other things about it. Speak to any psychologist. But, and no doubt those things need attending in life. Unless you are a sannyasi or a brahmachari. There's no attending, finished, full stop. But the ultimate outcome, the purpose, the drive, the interest is the child. And so therefore, Prabhupada said that then they really cared about children, but today in greater society, it's a big problem, the child. It can be a big problem, not for everyone. Not for everyone, but it's unfortunately a lot of children. I won't go into the drastic things, but we all know the unfortunate and sad situation of it. So here with Uttan, the child, when the child's able to just roll on its side, you know, it's in a position where it can move, and it has the strength to roll on its side. That is worth a celebration because it's a progressive part of the child's journey. It's a rite of passage, isn't it? For the first month in India, when a child's born, you don't even go out of the house. You don't leave the house. I walked out in the veranda with my daughter and the villagers were shouting up to me, go inside, don't come out. I went immediately back into the house. Don't come out. Maybe the child will only come out because they have another thing, a ceremony where you put the child in the sunlight after it's born to avoid it getting jaundice. Sometimes the child becomes completely yellow after birth. But this immediate sunlight just, I don't know what it does, but it stops the child getting yellow and getting jaundice. But other than that, the mother, if people see the mother out of the house, you're not going to recover. You need to rest. You need to just, you've had the child now, if it was the gestalt cycle, it would be the concluding part. Don't rush on to the next thing before you've finished the one you were on. Take a moment. Take a moment to be in that space of concluding something, isn't it? Sometimes we're on the next thing before the previous one's concluded, and we never close things properly. We never bring a proper closure to things. Stay in the home, and then all the village people all come with the local vitamin tablets, which are besan laddu. Huge laddu made with chana dal. Yeah? They think you're going to eat 1 kg a day or, you know, take it besan. Take the laddu. It's good to give you strength. Is that right, Narayan? Ryan grew up on Besan Laddu. That's why he just got an award in Leicester National Festival. Did you know that? Ryan got an award. He got an award for most enthusiastic newcomer person at Bhaktivedanta Manor. So, like that, then Uthan, when the child, then there's the taking the child to the temple, isn't it? What do you call that ceremony? Arambana, I think it's called. So get out now. It's a procession. You tell the priest before you come, we're bringing the child, get some blessing at the temple. A little charnamrita or whatever. Then this, when they moved 3 months, this was the time Krishna moved. It was a celebration. Everyone came to the home of Nandan Yasoda, and all the celebrations were taking place. It said that Krishna was looking tired, and therefore Yasoda Mai was going to lay him to rest. And in a hot day in the village of Vraja, without all of the modern facilities and amenities, without air conditioning, without all these things, the perfect place to take rest was underneath the shakata, the cart. The shade is there, the breeze is blowing through there. And so she took baby Krishna and she lay with him under that cart, as a mother would, isn't it? Lie with the child until the child finally goes to sleep. And those ladies who have had children, they know how that goes. And fathers, isn't it? I don't know how the fathers will lie there, pretending they're asleep, thinking, come on, get to sleep. Just lying there, pretending, sleeping as well. You imagine you're sort of lying there with baby Krishna, pretending to sleep, that Krishna will gradually drift off. And so finally he did. And Yasoda Mai got up from there. She went back to receiving all her guests. And everyone was chatting and mantras were being chanted and everyone was enjoying wonderful delicacies of food. The whole celebration was taking place and she's the hostess for everyone, isn't it? The hostess, the perfect hostess. And as all the noise of everybody was going on, then Krishna, he woke up. And as in all the pastimes of Krishna, when he wakes up, there's just one thing he wants, and that's his mother. And he began to cry. And as he was crying, then nobody could hear him. Yasoda couldn't hear him either because everybody was so busy chattering and taking care of everybody and all the anxiety that goes along with that. And he was crying more and more. And when Yasoda never responded to him, then he thought, all right, you're not going to hear my crying. You're going to hear this. You're going to hear this cart flying up in the air. And so with that little foot, he just kicked his foot up. Now it said his foot never became like Vamandev's foot. His foot never became huge, huge, huge and went beyond the universe. His foot remained Kanaya's foot. So, so soft. And he kicked that cart. But as he exhibited the power in his lips from sucking the life of Putana, then he exhibited the power of that little leg, that little baby foot, that he's omnipotent. And as you know, everything went everywhere and crashed and then news got to Yasoda and she ran with such a panic to embrace the child. He showed the power just of that little foot. It's also said that then, who next is Trinavarta, the whirlwind demon who took Krishna so high up in the air, so high in the sky, and Krishna was so beautifully described. Because see, in these leelas, Krishna is, there's qualities of Krishna. Krishna knows everything. Sarvagya. He's in Vrindavan now playing with Yasoda Mai, and he's hearing the prayers of devotees at Bhaktivedanta Manor simultaneously. And he's fully conscious of each and individual prayer, but at the same time, he doesn't know anything, and he just thinks his mother's about to punish him. This is the inconceivable character of Krishna. He knows everything, he doesn't know anything simultaneously. So Krishna was, as Trinavarta was going higher and higher up in the sky, he's the all-powerful Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he's looking down and thinking, this is getting really high now. So he's holding on to Trinavarta with his hands, his neck of Trinavarta. And he's holding on very, very strongly, thinking, don't drop me, don't drop me, don't drop me. But at the same time, his Shaktis are coming and taking the opportunity to serve him also. And so those Shaktis are making him heavier and heavier and heavier. And so he's holding on for dear life. Don't drop me, don't drop me. And Trinavarta's feeling this incredible weight pulling him down. He's like, let me go, let me go. And Krishna's like, don't drop me. And Trinavarta's like, don't let me go, don't let me go, let me go. And just with the power of those little lips, the power of those little feet, then was the power of those little hands. With Trinavarta. Okay. Ultimately, Trinavarta was defeated also, just by the weight of he never became massive. He didn't become Nrisingadev. He didn't, because he was in Vrindavan. And what's most important in Vrindavan, like when these things happen, it's like in the Vishnu Purana, after Krishna lifted Gauran Hill, he turned to the residents of Vrindavan and he said, now don't think me anything more than your family member. Because that's the all-important thing. It's the all-important thing in Vrindavan. Because love is the all-important thing. It's a landscape of love. So he never made himself huge, but his baby, his little body as a baby, became heavier than the planet Earth. And Trinavarta was pulled from the sky. Again, after this, this is him, he shows his Aishwarya. His Aishwarya, his power and opulence to keep becoming manifest here in Vrindavan. Following this then is Yasoda. Isn't it where Krishna has been playing with his friends and more the nutcut, his playfulness, his naughtiness, his all of these things are bibhava, which means they are ecstatic stimulants. They stimulate parental feelings. When a child misbehaves, though you're punishing the child for misbehavior, there's this incredible charm in their misbehavior, isn't it? Once again, I remember my daughter was very small and my auntie took my daughter somewhere and my wife was like, don't eat anything. You know how devotee mothers are like, it's okay, you go with your auntie, but don't eat anything. Don't eat anything. The food's not good. Don't know what they're eating. Don't eat anything. If when your family's not all devotee vegetarians, and then the kids go to school and they go, don't eat anything. Take your food with you. Then the school trip comes. They're away for 4 days. When mother's coming with a suitcase, don't eat anything. Here's your food. So my daughter was like drilled like that, you know. She's traumatized now. She tells me, I'm traumatized by all this stuff. Every time I'd go to eat something, I think, don't eat anything. She's there with her auntie. Her auntie says, her auntie's having a cup of tea and a biscuit, and she says to her auntie, can I have a biscuit? And her auntie says, well, you know your mother wouldn't like you to take that, Hari. She said, you don't have to tell her. There's a charm in it, isn't there? There's a charm in it. So when Krishna was stealing, and his mother was saying, you're stealing? Why are you stealing? There's so much food in our house, and you're going to every other house and you're stealing. Why are you stealing? Krishna will say, I wasn't stealing anything. Everybody's lying. I wasn't stealing anything. She'll say, well, how come you have this butter all over your hands, your arms, and your mouth? And Krishna will say, that wasn't me, that was the ants. The ants were eating the butter and they were walking up my... And all the gopis who are complaining about Krishna, they're complaining, their hearts are melting with affection for him. And then they say to you, oh, it's nothing, don't worry about it. And you sort of say, no, he'll have to be punished now. But then she'll take him on his lap and see his beautiful face and he's smiling and, kyari, I get it. It's not possible, isn't it? Krishna would get everyone in so much trouble in Vrindavan. So much trouble. With this month of Damodar coming, he created such problems for his mother. She was exasperated, trying to tie her son up. Mother says the lakshana of parental love or motherly affection. Apanari, palaka gyan, Krishna palya gyan. Chari, guna, vatsalya, rasamrita, saman. The very anubhavs or the very symptoms of the stai bhava vatsalya ras or vatsalya prem is that this human being thinks, apanari, palaka, that they are the maintainer, they are the protector, that the life of this child depends on me wholly and solely. If I don't feed, the child will not survive if not nourished by me, if not loved by me, and it will not survive this world unless I'm there to protect. Now, mothers can get really intense about that. You see, sometimes they look deranged around the temple, isn't it? They're pushing a pram, carrying coats, they don't know where the bag is anymore, they left their mobile phone somewhere, they're just like, where's my child? Isn't it? When the child's misbehaving or whatever, they're just like totally stressing out about the whole thing. Because these feelings are so powerful. So, so powerful in a mother. This is like the archetypical mother. I know there's so many other things exist. And mothers have these things to varying degrees. But the archetypical mother, Yasoda Mai, her beauty, you know, her form, her everything about her is all oozing vatsalya prem. You know, when Yasoda thinks of Krishna, her breasts weep milk. Just that love, so intense. This is the vatsalya prem. So, in exasperation, she was trying to bind him. She was trying to do something. He was just creating havoc at home. And as you know, the narration goes, finally she did manage to tie him. When he saw in her that exasperation, when he saw little pearl drops of sweat on Yasoda's brow, her and the other ladies were all just, she was doing all, the whole village was watching her. She was exasperated with love for Kanaya. And he finally thought, you win. And she bound him. But shortly after that, then, he was bound, he was stuck there. And he was crying his eyes out. And all the cowherd boys came back. And they saw Krishna. They said, who's done this to you? Who's done this to you? Who made you cry like this? And all the boys were trying to undo that knot. No one could untie that knot. And then Balaram came forward and said, Kanaya, who did this to you? I'll beat that person. Who did this to you? And Balaram said, Maya, or mother. And then Balaram thought, well, okay, maybe I wouldn't beat her. And then Balaram tried to untie the knot. No use. He couldn't untie the knot. Only when Nanda Maharaj came and saw Kanaya, saw everything, all this, trees broken, child crying, boys all around, upset. Nanda Maharaj came forward. Because he had vatsalya prem, he had the love of a father. He was able to untie that knot, the one that Yasoda had tied. No friend, no lower rasa could untie that knot, the knot tied by the love of a mother. It's most powerful love. When Krishna, following this, when Krishna ate dirt, whether he did or not, I don't think we'll ever know. But the boys in Balaram all complained to Yasoda, as older brothers complaining about younger brothers. He's eating dirt. He's eating mud. Children, they put all things in their mouth, isn't it? He's eating mud. And Yasoda thought, Kaniya, why are you eating mud? And then she asked to Balaram, Balaram, has he eaten mud? And Balaram said, yes, he's eaten mud. And then she said, have you eaten mud? And he said, no, they're all lying. She said, but you know, your brother won't lie. And then she took him by the hand, very as mothers, God, open your mouth. He wouldn't open his mouth. Now, this is God. Okay? This is Bhagavan. This is Parameshwar. This is Antaryami. We say, Ishvara, Parma, Krishna, Satyadananda, Vigraha. Before even going there, you have to shower, you have to wear clean clothes, you have to bow down, you have to do all pujas for purifying yourself. You know, all this beginning, you have to do like half an hour activity, 45 minutes activity before you can even go there. Here's this mother. Come here, you. Open your mouth. No, open your mouth. Then she takes her hand and forces her fingers in his mouth to open it. As Krishna's mouth is opening, she thinks, she's going to beat me. And he's feeling real fear. And his shaktis then think, now the opportunity has come to serve Krishna. He was so afraid of his mother beating him, a universe manifests in his mouth to cover the little particle of dirt that was inside, so she couldn't see it. Instead, she saw the whole universe. Yeah? This is one nice verse. Trayo cho panishad bischa sankhya yogai cha sattatai upagiyamanam mahatnyam harim samanya tatvajam. Trayo, the Vedas, the three Vedas, Rig, Sama, Yajur, they all upagiya, singing the glories of this person. Trayo upanishad bis. All the Upanishads are singing the glories of this person. Sankhya Yoga Icha Sattvatai. All of the literatures on Sankhya Yoga, Sattvatai, all the sadhus, rishis and saints, they're all glorifying this supreme person. But this woman, Hari Samanya Tattvajam, even though she's seeing a universe manifest in his mouth, she's not thinking of him as anything more than her child. Hari Samanya Atmajam. She's born of him. Born of her. She's her son. This is the power of the Stai Bhav of Vatsalya Prem. That you can show a universe in your mouth, but the love is so strong for the child that the mother just thinks, I need to take him to a doctor. We need to get some Jyotish, some Brahmin, some Pandit to come and do some puja to protect my child. She's making arrangements for the protection of her child. The love is so strong. The prema is so powerful that even all his Aishwarya is manifest right there in Braja. But his mother, it's like that you see with mothers. I remember I invited my mother to come here once to a patron's dinner. And I saw, I'm sitting my mother on the main table. I sat her next to a baroness, a member of parliament. Other people all sitting at the table with my mother. And I sat at the head of the table with my mother on my left-hand side. And a politician got up on stage, spoke. He was, at that time, offering praises to me. I was sitting there thinking of my mother, finally impressed the woman. I got up and spoke, and I came back down and sat beside my mother. And she just leaned over and said, "I hope all this isn't going to your head. You know, you go from being a big man right down to that little canaya, isn't it? Yourself, before your mother. Isn't it? Before your mother. You never... I mean, you grow. But you never really grow, isn't it? Your mother, even you're 50 years old, your mother's giving you some money. Isn't it? Here. No man maintains his mother. That's an illusion. One time I was sitting with one of Prabhupada's godbrothers. I thought, I'll go and meet this godbrother of Prabhupada in Seva Kunj in Vrindavan. I was sitting. And I thought, I'd met him on two occasions. One, I asked him, once I was in Puri, I said, "Can you tell me something about your relationship with Srila Prabhupada?" And he said, "It's none of your business." I was thinking I had some access, you know, to heal this lila of his relationship with Prabhupada. You know, he just made me understand my position very, you know, who are you? Fools rush in, isn't it? "You tell me something about your relationship with Srila Prabhupada. It's none of your business." He just went away. And then in Vrindavan, he was sitting, and they were sitting there, me. Somehow in India, you always look whiter than you are. I was kind of sitting, standing, kind of sticking out. Everything else was all moving nicely, and I was kind of like there, awkward. And this godbrother Prabhupada said, he said, "You Western people, you know nothing about love and affection." I thought, oh gosh, why did I put myself through these situations? He said, "You know nothing." And then he said, "I know one gentleman. He's 50 years old, and even still his wife cannot cook for him because his mother insists on feeding him." His mother still cooks and feeds him, even his wife can't do it. I mean, here, you know, you just make yourself a sandwich. That's what you do in the West. Just get on with it. Life's very different here. But there in olden days and everything, you know, the wife would take care nicely. They used to say, the wife only eats off the husband's plate. I said, that was the first thing. I think the first food I ever met in marriage, my wife, she replied, said, the wife only eats off the husband's plate. And I said, why? He said, because the husband should eat first. Well, let me tell you, that all ended when the children come. Because everybody eats off their plates, and what they don't eat, then the wife says, finish it. You finish it. So he said, you don't know anything about affection or love. This is the thing here. The profundity of love as it exists in Yasoda. And these leelas, as we read them, find Trinavarta's powerful, find Krishna's more powerful. But more powerful than all of those things is the love of this woman. That's the subject matter of our study. The aesthetics of this love. The aesthetics of this love, and by coming in contact with that, isn't it, as the verses says, Navritta Tarshar Upagiyamanad Bhavo Sodach Chotram Manobi Ramat Ka Utamasloka Gunanavadat Pumambira Jeta Bina Pashugnat. Just study the aesthetics of this love. And Navritta Tarshar, all of our interest in anything other than this love will be disintegrated. Bhavosadachyotram. Manobi abhiramat. It's so pleasing to the mind, isn't it? It's just so pleasing to the mind. Bhavausa, that it's the ausadi, it's the perfect medicine for material existence. Uttama sloka gunanavat, hearing these things. What person will not transcend material life other than Pashugnat, the killer of animals? In olden days, people, they performed sacrifices and burned animals in those sacrifices so that they could get to heaven. This type of person won't, they're not going to get it. Our apathy for this rasayan is these childhood pastimes. The medicine for that apathy is these childhood pastimes. Therefore, Parikshit Maharaj is saying, tell me all about them. Tell me more about these things. Let me address that apathy within myself. By just hearing the charm about the name, the qualities, the form of this child. That's what I want to hear. So we should meditate on these things amongst our busyness. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.